right. So you are listening to Caffeination 507, and the sultry sounds that you hear in the background, at least on the recorded version, are the wonderful dulcet tones of the delicate art of noise pollution and our Halloween music, which is spooky funk. You can find that over at noisepollution.nl. Hank does an unbelievable job with some of the stuff that he's put together, and he's also a fantastic author, so you can read some of his short stories, long stories, a whole bunch of other fun stuff that he has over there. You are listening to the Caffeination Podcast. We are the high-octane world of caffeine culture and technology news. We have a whole bunch of fun stuff here today for today's episode. We are going to be doing everything as per usual over at live.caffeination.com. That is the usual home for the festivities that happen every Wednesday night at 9:30. So if you are enjoying that over there as we're actually recording, then thank you very much for joining in. If you'd like to set a little schedule to actually have everything going, then you can make sure to head on over there. So, yeah, I'm a little bit behind the little under the weather, shall we say, right now. And the explanation's forthcoming, I promise. Behind you, shut up. it's going to be a rough show. Just going to let you know right now. We're going to do our best to keep the family-friendly atmosphere around here. We are, of course, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Everybody has agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational stuff. Everybody is listed over at techpodcasts.com. So, here's the long and the short end of what happened this week. So, I recorded the show Solo Mio last Wednesday and felt pretty good about it. You know, I was like, you know, didn't have any dead weight hanging around. Larry decided to get off the camera. And, you know, Steve was making fun of me, you know, that night. He had a little problem sleeping. So the next day, everything started off perfectly. Was running on time in the morning. Had enough coffee to get me going. And had a car accident on the way into work. So, without going into too much detail, because I don't know how much detail I can actually give out, it was a little rough. We were kind of broadsided there. I got hit on the driver's side, so I have a separated shoulder. It's all kinds of fun. Everybody else was, I have apparently the worst injury out of the bunch, which is perfectly fine by me. My wife's all right. The kids weren't in the car at the time, so It all turned out well and good. And, we have a lot of stuff to try and figure out over the next couple weeks. And the first of which we're going to be, I'm going to be figuring out over the next couple days is actually where to get a new car. So, that's going to be kind of fun. And we're going to see exactly how that runs off. But the other thing that we had happen over the weekend was Steve and I both became uncles, him for the second or third time, and me for the first time. So we have the official Caffeination podcast nephew, and that's baby Timmy came into the world.
That's right.
So it was a relatively eventful weekend, I guess you could say. Well, a relatively eventful week in between podcasts. So we have a lot of fun stuff that happened, and we have a lot of fun stuff to talk about. So this is the this is going to be a rough show, like I said. You are, of course, listening to Caffeination. We are found lovingly nestled over at www.caffeination.com. If you have any comments, feedback, or suggestion that you're not going to say on the air, then you can feel free to email them to caffeination@gmail.com, or you can email me, paul@caffeination.com, or my smarty little co-host.
First of all, it's steve@caffeination.com and at Norbert. Started it. Thank you.
All right. So Norbert, who is in the chat room right now, is once again holding court in the wilds of the chat room as it is. It's been a really good group the past couple weeks in the chat room. So thank you, everybody, who comes down to that. We have a whole bunch of real fun stuff, but what we're going to do this week is we're actually going to flip it up. We're doing the food and caffeinated bits first, and then we're going to do the Geek Cruft section, because I kind of feel sometimes we rush through the food and caffeinated bits stuff. And I think we have some really good stuff to throw in there today.
I think we need to slow it down a little bit.
A little slow our roll?
A little slow.
Have you felt that we've been going batty? Yeah, so we need to go to camera two for this. And for those of you who can't see, rides a crippled bat because the one wig folded in. But we have a lovely little bat that's end up showcasing. And it actually does provide a nice little breeze.
Yeah.
So you can probably hear it on the audio edition, but... Wings up, let's get this underway. Enough with the prop comedy, right?
Yeah.
I don't do jokes well, and when I start bringing in external references, it's really not going to go any easier. All right, so we already gave you all the information. If you want anything else, you can ask. What's the first story that we got today before I get into more trouble?
The first we have today is Chocolate Zombies and Brain Bonbons. And pretty much what this is chocolate-covered cherries. And... you know, looking at this, me and you were discussing it before the show that you're absolutely right. They probably would have went better. What are you doing? All right. They probably would have went better with raspberries. All right.
Anyway. Yeah, what we needed was something, fruit with a little bit of texture. Its cherries are kind of smooth. And, I mean, the picture might be enhanced. It's a little overly red. But, but the raspberries or the strawberries, one man would dare give me the raspberry. Lone Star. Yeah, like I said, it's going to be a bad night. But, they're basically little chocolate zombie heads, and they have a candied fruit in the inside. But, the cherry just doesn't look right.
Nah.
So it could have been better. That's all I'm going to say.
And for $14, I mean, I guess it wouldn't be that bad, right?
No, it shouldn't be that bad. I mean, how many were in the box? It looked like 6.
Yeah.
Those better be giant cherries, I'm saying. I mean, you better be like a cherry the size of a fist if you're doing... We should probably switch back to camera one. There we go. The reason it's blue is because the camera's actually recording, as opposed to when this camera's blue and I'm talking to the other one. So when a cherry the size of your fist for $14, that's what I'm saying. All right, now the next little thing we have, it looks relatively nasty in the first picture, but as you get in on it a little bit further, this is actually a recipe for pumpkin coffee cake. I gotta say, this looks really, really, really good. I mean, I'm a fan of coffee cakes in general, and not just because they have the word coffee in it, and I gotta stop gesturing with my bad wing, but... they actually, I like the taste. They're not overly sweet. They're nice and crumbly, and they make a good addition to any breakfast or something like that. Are you a fan of coffee cakes or no?
I am a fan of coffee cakes.
Okay, probably because there is no coffee in them.
There is no coffee in it.
All right, but this looks interesting. I'm a fan of some pumpkin themed desserts, so I'd be interested to see exactly how this one tastes.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind tasting this, but like as you said, you got to get through that first picture.
The first picture for any parents out there in the audience has a distinct texture and look that is quite reminiscent of something that is not edible necessarily. So,
big
yeah.
Choice.
the proper way of describing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, all right, next little article that we got for you here. You going to take this one, Steve, or was I? I forget.
I think you were.
Okay, well, all right, so I'm taking this one. This is pumpkin pie brownies. Now, this isn't just mixing pumpkin into regular chocolate or fudge brownies, but this is actually a hacked-in recipe from someplace called the Cake Mix Doctor. And what they do is they basically take... different cake mix recipes and kind of throw them all together and try and make something that's a little bit more edible. So it's kind of like that show on the Food Network, Chopped, where they take, like, boring stuff that you would find in the supermarket, like, dried pasta, and then, of course, the snooty chef goes, "We never use dried pasta in my restaurant." It's like, okay, that's great, France. Why don't you try and make something that's actually edible with them then? So, I mean... So I like the idea of it, and they look really, really good. I can't wait to see what these actually turn out like. And I'm probably going to try and make these two, but I think this is going to be higher on the list than the other one.
Yeah.
So I might have to enlist the help of the baker in the family, and I might have to go with my wife on that one. But yeah, see if she has any input.
She could do it.
She could do it, no problem. All right, the next little link that we got for you here today, what's this one called?
This one is called Zombie Head Cheese. It's from over at LaughingSquid.com, and basically what it is Megan Reardon of Not Martha basically put together a plastic skull, put spreadable cheese around it, and there you go with the Halloween...
I mean, I like the Halloween themed stuff, and scraping something off a skull looks pretty cool, but it looks like regular taco dip, and your sister makes fantastic taco dip.
Yes.
So, you mix the cream cheese in with the whole taco sauce, you beat that really fine, and then you throw it on a skull. I'm not sure if that's like, if that's good. I mean, I understand that they have sesame seeds that are supposed to look like some kind of grubs or something like that. Yes. So, I mean, it looks all right, but it's missing something. It's probably because I've never seen any kind of flesh that looks quite that pink. I've seen a couple injuries in my life and never anything that looks quite like this. I mean, head injuries bleed, let me tell you, but nothing. This just doesn't look right.
Nah, it's a work in progress. I mean,
I like the idea that they used pearl onions for eyes.
Yeah.
That's really, really smart because they're the right shape. They're the right texture even. But what they probably could have done, and I'm just saying, from a little epic mealtime thing, is wrap this sucker in bacon and then put the taco dip on the inside with some kind of roughage to make it look a little bit chunky and stuff like that.
Now
so
we're getting somewhere.
So I think that would probably be a little bit better. So maybe we'll see something down the road. Maybe we're going to have to fiddle around with our own little epic Halloween time thing. Or maybe when we actually play around a little bit, we can get some better lead time to do these things. I had a lot of stuff I wanted to try and get done this week, including doing the pumpkin carving before the show. And now I'm going to try and do a one-armed pumpkin, so maybe see how that works out.
One-armed pumpkin.
Well, one-armed pumpkin carving, anyway. All right, next little thing we got for you here. I've had a lot of people ask me about what the difference between pumpkin-flavored coffee is and pumpkin-spice coffee. So I just want to clear what that is. The way that I understand it is pumpkin-flavored coffee is artificial flavoring. It's chemicals and everything thrown into something to actually... It's artificial flavors and everything that's actually thrown into the coffee, chemicals and stuff to make it look and taste, or not look, but taste like pumpkins directly.
Right.
Whereas pumpkin spice lattes and stuff like that actually eschew the pumpkin flavoring, and they go right for the spices that you would put into a pumpkin pie to make it reminiscent of that. So you have your standard dark coffee, and if you're somebody like me who doesn't really dig the artificial flavors in pretty much anything, I would probably go more towards the pumpkin spice stuff. And you can make your own pumpkin spiced coffee by just adding spices like nutmeg, cloves, and cinnamon in various proportions, however many. Take the proportions that you would normally put in a pumpkin pie and cut them way, way down to something that would probably be cover the size of your thumbnail, and mix them into the coffee grounds before you make your coffee. So it would probably be a little bit better off that way.
Right.
So, all right. Next little thing that we got for you here, that both Steve and I are kind of enthused about this. We're not really sure what to make of it because we didn't do too much research, but I love the idea of it. This is actually a ghostly gourmet. This is ghost-inhabited coffee bars from around the country. So this was actually sent to me by Roasty.com, and we've used some of their coffee before. They make good coffee, but they also come up with some really, really good stories every once in a while. And the one that I'm actually kind of really enthused at, and I have to ask my parents about this one because they've actually been to the cafe, is Café Dumont in New Orleans. Apparently there's a ghost waiter called Blue. And Blue will take people's orders and then disappear. That's the only thing he ever does, is take your order and then disappear.
Oh, wow.
I think I've actually had Blue wait on me at a couple different restaurants, but you know what? But I mean, I like the idea that they put all this stuff together, and some of the other ones are actually pretty cool. Like there's one from London, there's one from the University of Toronto in Canada, and Indianapolis, Indiana, and San Antonio, Texas. So you can head on over there and see if any of these places are actually close to where you live, and why not venture out there, ask some people about it. I mean, I know Philadelphia is a pretty haunted city. We've been on the ghost tour. Did you go with us?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so I mean, there's a lot of ghosty stories around here. And there's some really fun stuff, like on the Moshulu, or the Moshulu, depending on how you want to pronounce it. It's a floating ship in Penn's Landing, which is a harbor on the Delaware River. They actually have a ghost that relights the candles. And one of the ghost stories I said was they actually had to collect all the candles that are on the dinner tables at night and put them into a bucket of water so that they don't spontaneously light. I thought that was pretty cool. It also apparently moves all the forks for some reason.
Yeah, I remember that story.
So I don't know what to make of any of this. I love ghost stories, logical or not. I think they're just really cool stories to play around with.
Yeah.
And I love trying to debunk them. And at the same point, that when you find that one that really kind of eludes the debunking, it's really kind of cool. So that's just me. All right, next little thing we got for you here. We're diving in. That actually ends the food and caffeinated bits section, kind of a little all over the place here. But we get the Geek Cruft section. So what did you do, Geeky, this week?
You know what? I'll be honest. I don't think I did anything, Geeky.
Yeah, I played a lot of NBA 2K12. So I'm working on the review for that, and I got to say, having a busted up arm, it's really good to just kind of sit your arms down there. And, you know, the Wii's not really my bag right now.
Nah.
So you know, any motion gaming really isn't too good. So you know, at least I can throw the controller at the TV with my right hand.
Yeah, after playing about, what did I say, 51 hours at Dead Island, I took a break, which, yeah, there will be a review for that soon.
That's awesome. So we got a lot of fun stuff that's coming down the pike. We just have to kind of get ourselves organized.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff to do. But, you know, that's, you know, Geeky this week for me really wasn't too much. I was kind of in recovery for the first 4-5 days since we last recorded. Everything's kind of been a blur. So today's one of the first days that I remember everything that's happening, and it's a work in progress.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll let you know how that all goes. All right, first little article that we got for you here in the Geek Cruft section.
Of course, is pumpkin carving, and I stumbled upon this just surfing the internet, and apparently Ray, I believe it's Villafane, from Villafane Studios, I was looking at a couple of his pumpkin pumpkin carvings, and I came up with the story of him carving into the world's largest pumpkin, and it's on display, and it's pretty amazing.
You know, I always wondered what they did with the world's largest pumpkin, because, I mean, it more often than not, like, you'd hope that they would make, like, just a ton of, like, pumpkin pies or something.
Or just one big pumpkin pie.
Oh, my God. How cool would that be if you take, like, the world's three biggest pumpkins and you make, like, the world's largest pumpkin pie? It's, like, many layers of meta. I wonder if you get, like, a super Guinness Book of World Records thing if you make the largest pumpkin pie from a single continuous pumpkin.
That sounds like an idea.
I wonder if they actually have a record for that. We should probably look into it. Although the biggest pumpkin we've had in the house here is around 53 pounds. Yeah, I was picking up the massive pumpkins there for a while. And now that my son wants to carve one too, yeah, not so much affording on the massive ones. We're going for kind of mid-size. We're going for the sedans and the coupes of the pumpkin world, not necessarily the Hummers. But I really love this. I mean, I personally think that his Predator one is unbelievable. It stands out above and beyond all the other ones that are out there. So I think it's just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
All right, now on to the next story. Talking about pumpkins that I myself have carved. When I started out doing the pumpkins, and I wasn't really sure how I was going to do. The last pumpkin that I carved that was massive was last year, and that was a 43-pound one, and it was just tall and really dense. And I started out trying to carve just like a wolf howling at the moon or something, and it ended up turning into a dragon. And then I accidentally poked a hole in the one side, and I was like, you know what? Let's make this really kind of crazy and geeky. So I'm going to do a Smaug flying over the Lonely Mountain from The Hobbit. So you have the Lonely Mountain, and then you have the tiny little hole where the adventurers went down, and then you have Smaug breathing fire over the top. And the cool thing about the pumpkin was that the skin, you know, just under the skin, it actually retained that green tint.
Right.
So when I carved it, people are like, oh, you colored the pumpkin. It's like, no, I actually didn't. I just carved down to where it just stayed green, and it made the dragon stand out from the rest of it. So I thought it was pretty neat. I'm nowhere near what Villafane does, but I'm getting there. Every year it's a little bit better.
You're getting there.
So last year was Smaug over the Lonely Mountain. The year before that, so you can kind of see a little bit of the progression, was actually one of my favorite ones. I loved Mike Wazowski. Mike Wazowski! But I actually carved the Cyclops in. This is another little mistake, because I started carving a regular Cyclops, and then it sort of looked like Mike Wazowski. I accidentally put a nose on him, and he doesn't have a nose. So that,
nah.
Not a lot of people noticed that. But also, the horns didn't actually work. I tried to do them out of separate pieces that I had already cut off. But if you see any of the sets and stuff that we did, or that I did, rather, you can actually see videos of them turning. They look a lot better when the lights are turned off
right.
than when they're turned on. And it's really hard to get the entirety of a 3D object when you're just taking one angle of it. And then the original pumpkin that I did when we moved in, well, this one was actually done in about 25 minutes. It's because my wife wanted me to be outside handing out candy and not carving a pumpkin, and I waited a little too long. But this is my Ghost Rider pumpkin, and it's just a rudimentary skull with some flames. I think this one looks a lot better turned off than on, definitely.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I was kind of having some fun with this one. All right, now moving on to a pumpkin that I did not carve, but I'm kind of in awe of the different stuff that's actually in it. This is actually a pumpkin that has the inscription from the inside of the One Ring around the outside of it. It's, of course, in the black speech, but it's one pumpkin to scare them all, and one pumpkin to find them, one pumpkin to bring them all, and in the darkness bind them. In the land of pumpkins where the pumpkins lie? I don't know. But, I mean, the attention to detail, if this wasn't done with a laser cutter or something else that was really, really fine, I don't know where you would find this. I mean, this is unbelievable to get that kind of level of detail in the script.
That's extreme detail, too.
I don't know what kind of tool you'd use to get those tiny, fine cuts, unless it's a Photoshop job. I actually just thought that. That could be a really easy Photoshop to do. As opposed to a pumpkin. So, who knows? We'll find out.
We'll find out.
But I like that. This was actually found over at Tumblr. So, dental tools. That's a good idea. That could probably do it. That would take hours and hours to try and do that.
Yeah, it would.
So, all right. And the next little story we got up for you here is Steve's.
And with these are our high heels, which none of us would wear. I hope you wouldn't. I know I wouldn't.
No, yeah. It's just not my style. They don't go with my eyes necessarily.
But, this is just a personal project the person had. And you know what? It's a great idea. It's, to see a lot of detail in heels is just funny.
So would you say it's fabulous?
You don't playing around.
I'm never done playing around. So would you say it's actually a fabulous design?
Oh, it's a fabulous design.
It's never so fabulous.
They are just fabulous.
Fabulous.
I think we do that a little too well.
Yeah, just a little bit, but you know what? Yeah, unfortunately, you can't actually buy these. These, while my wife probably would never wear these, not even a chance. She's not really a heel kind of lady.
No.
Yeah, but you can't buy these because they're a one-off. They're kind of an artist project.
Right.
They were just made to showcase. So it's kind of like that urinal that's sitting on its side somewhere in the Philadelphia Art Museum. I hate that thing. It's the stupidest art I've ever seen. I'm not even afraid to say it. All right, so moving on to the next fun story that we have. Steve's also going to take this
I'll
one.
I'll take this one, which is it's a pixelated Mario pillow. And
say that 14 times fast.
I will say it 14 times fast. And, unfortunately, this is only something you can get if you are a Club Nintendo member, which is only in Japan. So, unfortunately, as much as I want to get this, I cannot.
Well, are you a Club Nintendo member?
No.
I am.
Are you?
Yeah, I'm a Club Nintendo member because when we bought the Wii, you can register it, and immediately you start earning points for first-party titles that you buy. So things like the Mario Galaxy, the Wii Fit, and all that other stuff, you earn points to. I've never redeemed a single point because we don't spend enough money on Wii games to actually make enough to buy it. It's just kind of irritating. It's like, look, if you have people that are actually fans of your product enough to actually spend that much money,
yeah,
you should really give people the ability over here to make to buy the pixelated Mario.
Oh, they'd probably sell out with these with those.
Oh yeah, I mean, and the funny thing is, with Etsy, you could probably take the one that they have there and make your own.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's relatively simple to do. All right, we've talked a little bit about Epic Mealtime here. It's one of our favorite video podcasts. Well, there's a really good collaboration between Dr. Smoove and another gentleman who does all the videos here, Randall NG. But it's an unbelievable collaboration that actually takes the first generation Transformers and cobbles the Decepticons into a Epic Mealtime spinoff called Epic Megatime, where they're actually trying to make their own Energon Cube. And the funniest thing about this is right before I found this, the day before, Paul, my son's asking me, he says, so how does Energon get made? Or no, what do the Transformers eat? I was like, well, the Transformers eat Energon. And he goes, well, how do you make Energon? I said, I don't know. The Transformers make it. And he goes, well, where do they get it? So now I can show him this video, and I'm completely done, because he's like, wow. It's a complete thing front to back, and it's just on point. I think the voices are really, really close to the original.
Yeah, extremely close.
And all of the voices are Dr. Smoove. They're all one guy. In fact, they have a lot of other really funny videos there that all use the Transformers as characters in it. So they have Energon O's, like commercials for it, and Grimlock's doing one, Perceptor's doing another. They also have Leica G6.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they have that. They're dancing around, and then the video at the end is crashed by Optimus Prime holding a sign that says Leica G1 because he's the Transformer Generation 1. So it's pretty fun and pretty cool. You know, so a lot of other ones over there. You can actually click on the video and find some of the other ones up. They're pretty, pretty awesome. All right, next little thing we got for you here is another good story from our buddy Steve.
That's right, and basically what this is the Tron light cycle. And what I'm talking about here is a custom chopper company called Parker Brothers Custom Choppers has built a real-life light cycle. And they built one last year right around the time that Tron Legacy came out. And that one was gas-fueled. And so what they're trying to do now with a better design, and it's actually a pretty, pretty good design, they want to make it electric.
That just looks like a lot of bike.
Yeah.
And you really have to kind of just give yourself into the actual bike to drive it. I don't know that I would necessarily want to go head first as I'm driving around on a motorcycle.
Nah. You know what? You watch the video, you know, of them, you know, just practice around, and they're going, like, not even 10, 15 miles per hour. They're just, like, you know, slowly gliding. And it's like, you know what? I want to see how fast that thing can go, and I want to see you stop.
Yeah, that's. I'd like to see that. I was looking at that, and I said, I don't think I've seen one good use of the brakes so far.
Nah.
There doesn't seem to be a lot on the bike to actually hold you there. You know, G-force is actually stopping the thing, so I'm not sure how that actually works out.
And you know what? Surprisingly, these bikes are street legal.
Really? You
know, yeah.
Where's the headlight?
The headlight is actually right above the tire.
So that thing.
Yeah, that thing
headlight?
Is the headlight. And you know what? It's if you look at the video, it's pretty bright.
Okay. I mean, so, you know, I could see where it's street legal. It just doesn't look street smart.
Nah, it's
book smart. It's not street smart.
It's book smart. You know, for $55,000, it's book smart.
Yeah, for $55,000, it better be pretty smart.
Oh yeah.
All right, and then the last little story that we have here for you here today is for all of you taxidermy fans out there. Again, a little 80s retro culture. Somebody by the name of Derek Mason had a stuffed warthog laying around his basement. I mean, because don't we all, really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I actually have several stuffed warthogs that are in the garage. I mean, just I collected the whole set. I'm actually going to do a Ramon and Pumbaa live show, puppets, from The Lion King, you know, Hakuna Matata. But, he had one of these things laying around. And so he went a little bit of the extra mile and actually decided to emulate the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Bebop character. And he did a really good job.
Yeah.
That is spot on.
That is spot on. I'm surprised at how good that is, actually.
And the only thing that I don't like about it, the entire thing is, like, really well done. The nose ring, the jacket, everything. The only thing that doesn't look right is the glasses. The glasses look way too chintzy to be part of the rest of it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the rest of the stuff, he cut up real stuff. I mean, I don't know why you wouldn't just take some blue plastic and just cut holes in it. But, I mean, hey, you know what? When you're doing the rest of it, cowabunga indeed, I just thought it was really, really cool. All right. That about wraps it up here today for the Caffeination Podcast. We came in relatively quickly. We blew through kind of a lot of stories there in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
So, all right. That about wraps it up here today. If you were looking for this podcast or any of the other ones that are a little bit more put together, you know, there aren't really any. We're sorry. But you can find them all over at www.caffi.com. I misspelled my own podcast. Do you want to try spelling it today?
You want to try it one more time?
No. I'm going to just give it over to you. I mean, that's all you.
See, now I got the pressure.
Don't mess it up.
All right, let's see if I can do this. CAFFINATION.com.
There you go. Apparently that's the Caffeination Podcast.
There you go.
Boom. Headshot. Yeah, the funny thing is there's no painkillers in my body right now because they're not working, so why take them?
That's right.
Yeah, it's all a little bit tired, a little bit nerves. There's a whole bunch of other fun stuff rattling around upstairs, but apparently none of them are a clue. So thank you ever so much for listening, and stay caffeinated, people.